Welcome to Drunk on Comics, special edition, an interview with Dirk Manning.
All right, so we have this crazy, like, 8,000 lines, but we're good. We got it recording again.
It's recording now?
Yes, I'll just delete this beginning part. So, once again, Lance, start over. Now that we suck.
All right, Dirk. So this is, what, your 100th time on Drunk on Comics?
Yes. That seems legit.
Yes.
That seems legit. I would say maybe 99, but you know what? We can, at this point, we're all old friends. We can round up to 100 just to be safe.
Sounds good. We almost have 200 episodes now, so.
I feel like you've been in half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank the ones that I'm not on directly. I'm at least here in spirit, in my, the non-drunk of Drunk on Comics.
That's true.
You're drunk on ice cream.
Who helped initiate your journey into digital interviewing, the first Skype interview you ever did.
Yes. Derek and I were not ever part of it at that point, but.
I'm just giving you new history.
All right. This is a line in the Drunk on Comics Wikipedia.
Yes.
That's right.
Easily editable to sell horrible things about us. So.
I got to get a Wikipedia. Yeah, that's been on my list for a couple of years. I need to get a Dirk Manning Wikipedia page.
You do. You know. Anyone can do a Wikipedia, so maybe Drunk on Comics will take it upon themselves to make the Dirk Manning Wikipedia entry.
I think if we did that, it would be so fantastically amazing. There'd just be so much random stuff.
I don't know if I'm excited or horrified by
this. You should be both.
Honestly, witnessed man eat 19 bowls of ice cream at dinner one time. You know, like random Dirk facts will be thrown in there, just sprinkled
that,
in.
That is a true story. There are pictures. It was sick. After a giant Italian dinner.
That was the first time I ever met you, and I can honestly say you impressed me so much by crushing that much ice cream after eating so much food. That place is amazing. Are we going back this year?
I hope. We don't want to say on the air where we're going, because then what will happen is, we will not have as much Italian goodness to ourselves. But there is a show after which we get Italian food, and that whole incident, the whole eating six bowls of ice cream after a giant Italian dinner, is actually going to be a chapter in Right or Wrong Volume 2.
Yes.
Did you feel okay after that? Like, I was honestly concerned on my drive home that you were going to explode from dairy.
It was definitely a turning point in my career. The fact that it was definitely a turning point in my career. I'll leave it at that. But no, I was okay. I was always really scrawny growing up, so I think there's a thing inherent in a lot of kids that grew up kind of scrawny and maybe didn't have a lot of money or food, for that matter, is that we develop this weird, like, mutant ability to be able to eat and eat and eat when food is presented to us. And as a result, I was fine. You know, we ate a big – I got like a pasta dinner with a lot of bread, and then, you know, I guess the history behind this whole thing is we all got ice cream for dessert as part of our thing. It was just kind of came with our meal. And everyone's like, oh, I'm full. Oh, I'm full. They're like, well, give it to Dirk. He likes ice cream. So like the joke was, haha, okay, I'll have two scoops of ice cream. And then everyone tried to start being cute and putting their bowls of ice cream in front of me as well. And being a man's man, I said, oh, you guys aren't going to go over on Dirk MF Manning. And little did I know how many of you had not eaten your ice cream. Yeah. So next thing I know, there was six bowls of ice cream in front of me, and I had to go back to my old days about being a little skinny kid and think, okay, you know, there was a time when, you know, you would have done anything to have this much ice cream, so there's only one thing to do. Reverted back to my traumatic childhood and consumed all six bowls.
That's, you know, being a still kind of scrawny kid, I can totally relate. I still eat, but slowly I'm seeing the LBs increase, and it's making me increasingly nervous that my metabolism is nowhere near what it used to be.
Well, I'll tell you what. I went through that, especially when I started touring a lot more. you know, the last couple of years I've done, I have to count, probably in the last 3 years, I've probably done about 50 conventions and signing appearances, give or take. Probably even more than that. I would actually have to go maybe closer to 60 or so. I mean, I've done on average probably about 25 or so a year. So maybe even 75. I don't know. A lot. You know, I've done a lot of those couple of years. I think the number keeps going up the more I think about it, and I just start to weep. But as a result, you eat a lot of food on the road. I don't get to – I wasn't getting to exercise as much. And as a result, yeah, I mean, I really blew up for a couple of years there and got to a point where it was like I went to get my yearly physical with the doctor, and he's like, Dirk, here's what you weighed 3 years ago. Here's what you weigh now. What happened? And I'm like, 6 bowls of ice cream, blah, blah, blah. You know, life on the road and eating, so, you know – it's hard to eat healthy on the road, even when you find good, quote unquote, places to eat, food. It's still tough. You know, it, people think I eat nothing but ice cream, which is only half true. but no, it's tough. And, you know, you eat restaurant food a lot and things like that. And, you know, then when you're not doing that, you're sitting at a desk writing or you're driving. And it all adds up. So I really had to kind of take the last since it's July. I usually do no show July and I take July off. And this past July, I really said, OK, I got to get myself back in shape and really kind of get myself back in fighting form. But it's a real thing, man. You know, as we get older and stuff like that. I mean, I don't drink, you know, I don't smoke or anything like that. But I was blowing up and getting heavier and heavier. And I'm not to be overly personal right off the bat on what should be fun.
We're supposed to be talking about your Kickstarter.
Yeah, I know. But I'll say that I kickstarted a lot of that extra weight and I'm back down to fighting form.
Yes. Well done, sir.
It's a real thing, man. It's you got to be careful about that stuff.
So was
it's supposed to be about comics. We're not supposed to be about health plans.
So that 6 bowls of ice cream was like your Robert Downey Jr. kicking drugs moment where you're eating that cheeseburger by the ocean and you pitched it and never did drugs again. Like 6 bowls really put you over and made
I still eat ice cream.
Oh, I know that. I'm not saying. I'm just that wake up call. You're like, my God, I ate 6 bowls of ice cream. Here we go.
No, that wasn't his wake up call.
No.
I thought about the Sam Kinison gag, you know, the old comedian Sam Kinison. Who anybody out there who doesn't know Sam Kinison, I'm sorry. Look him up.
So funny.
But he's great. But he talked about the fact that, you know, in his big screechy voice about how he would go to a party and people would be doing lines of cocaine. They'd be like, wee, 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 you know, and the little line, and they'd say, oh, look, it's Sam Kinison. And he's like, I'm going to give you a garden hose. It was like that kind of thing. It's like that ice cream was like my Sam Kinison cocaine moment. It's like, Jesus, you know, it's like, I cannot do that. I cannot just because I can't eat 6 bowls of ice cream doesn't mean I should.
Right. Yes.
It was more like my Jurassic Park moment / Sam Kinison.
So, everybody listening, stop giving Dirk Manning so much ice cream.
Let's not get carried away. Just realize I will eat the ice cream in moderation.
I love the fact at C2E2 that when I found you, it was like 10:15 in the morning and you had a mint chocolate chip ice cream cone already in your hand.
Right. Right. You know, that's kind of like my joke at C2E2 is they sell ice cream right on the floor. And I'm at C2E2 in New York, I'm always at table H8. So I'm always at table H8. Table H8 is right by the ice cream. And so usually what will happen is for breakfast, you know, I'll eat something, you know, healthy for breakfast and stuff like that. But then once C2E2 starts, you do not get a chance to get away from your table. That show for me is non-freaking stop. And Mike Nagin does just such a phenomenal job, stacks that artist alley. People go to C2E2 to buy comics. And inevitably, as a creator, if I leave that table for 5 minutes, someone's going to come by looking for me. It never fails. When I finally like have to run to the bathroom and fill my water bottle, two separate things, I might add, and then run back, inevitably someone's like, oh, someone came by looking for you. So one of the things at C2E2 is when I get onto the show floor, right when the show starts, right as the show's starting, I usually go and grab an ice cream cone, and that will get me through till about late afternoon. You know, and I'll have like power bars and stuff like that under my, you know, under my table and things like that to eat that are mildly healthy. But that kind of just gives me that initial boost of energy and sugar, like, okay, because I'm going to be burning this off through in the day, just talking to people, bouncing around and stuff like that, you know. But so, yeah, inevitably, if someone comes sees me the first thing in the morning at C2E2, I will have an ice cream cone on me. I can guarantee it. And it helps my voice a little bit, too.
That's fair. That seems legit.
It is. It's a legit thing. You know, there's a lot of There's a lot of work that goes into life on the road. People think life on the road is all fun, and there's a lot of strategy in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So, Kickstarter time. Coming soon. So this is the Kickstarter for Tales of Mystery Volume 3, the hardcover.
Yes.
Which... So Volume 3 was available online for free on the Devil's Due website.
Yes.
Okay, so this is taking all of those and putting them together in one lovely, lovely hardcover edition.
Not only a hardcover edition, a limited edition hardcover.
Oh, of course.
What we did is with Tales of Mystery Volume 3... kind of went back to my roots of what we did with Nightmare World back in the day and released the whole series online at the rate of a page a day. So we did that through the Devil's Due site, got some really good traffic on that, and really, you know, giving people another chance to kind of be introduced or reintroduced to my work and Tales of Mystery specifically. You know, way back in the day, Tales of Mystery Volume 1 launched as an online series alongside Nightmare World when that was running online. And then with Volume 2, we released Volume 2 as issues. As print issues, we did the first issue for $1.99 to kind of give people an entry point. And that was Issue 3, what we did, or Volume 3. We just decided to go ahead and do digital issues. So what you could do is you could, digital issues to Comixology, or just read the whole series online for free at the rate of a page a day. So usually the first week of every month, we would start releasing a page a day online of the whole 5-issue miniseries. Or that first Wednesday of the month, give or take, you could, boom, if you want, just for $1.99, download the whole issue and get a digital copy, not have to wait for the slow drip the whole month. The drip like blood. But sorry, that creeps out sometimes. So, yeah, that's what we did with Volume 3. You know, it was like 5 issues, 5 artists. Really proud of it, really excited. And now with Kickstarter, people can get for the first time the print edition. And as we did with Tales of Mystery Volume 1 and Volume 2, you can get a limited edition hardcover edition of the book. That's kind of the main crux of the campaign. But the hardcover edition is only available for 30 days. Once the Kickstarter ends, that's the number of hardcovers we print. That's it. No more. There's not going to be extras. Boom. That's it. Done. That's it. Goodbye. Sorry. I don't even print extras because I don't ever want to be tempted to like save them and eBay them later or something. It's like we print the amount that are ordered through Kickstarter. Couple extra just for damages. And that's it. They're gone.
All right. So we're getting the hardcover. Now, your Kickstarters have been infamous, I guess, for all of the extras that come with them. So what are we looking at for the Kickstarter this time?
Oh, gosh, we're doing a lot of stuff. We are actually doing, how much can I say? I think we're following a similar model to Volume 2 as far as stretch goals go, which I guess I'll get to in a second. But what we're doing is with this Kickstarter is, obviously, like I said, the base pledge is you can get the hardcover. Now, people can get the trade paperback, or if they really want to wait, they can eventually get the trade paperback through the local comic shop or if they see me at a signing. But what we're doing with this one is you can get the hardcover, but some of the other pledge levels are what I'm really excited about. We're doing another mystery T-shirt, and we're going to make a glow-in-the-dark shirt only for the Kickstarter campaign, so that'll be Kickstarter exclusive. It's going to be a riff on the Keep Calm and Carry On shirt. Instead of a little crown, it's going to have the mystery sigil.
Nice.
And it's going to say, punch demons and call mystery.
Oh, I want one.
Yeah, you can get one.
I will.
And I want to do it with white letters, but then have it glow in the dark as well. So we're going to do that. What I'm super excited about, and I just posted a picture of this in the Friends of Dirk Manning Support Group on Facebook today, are these big ceramic, kind of like sandblasted, engraved black mystery coffee mugs, which have the big mystery sigil on them. But along with the coffee mug, you'll get a bag of designer coffee, whole bean, and it's Dirk's Perk coffee. And Dirk's Perk is the coffee shop that's not only seen in Nightmare World, but featured pretty prominently in a couple issues of Tales of Mystery Volume 3.
So did you personally have to go out and sample types of coffee to pair up with this, or did you just know somebody? Or
It's funny because I haven't had caffeine in like gosh, probably about 15 years.
I was going to say, do you even drink? I don't think you drink coffee, do you?
That's really impressive.
I love coffee. Nowadays, I have decaf, which some people claim is not coffee. But I do love coffee. I just don't have caffeine anymore. It makes me hyper.
Jesus.
That's scary because you are a high-energy guy.
Yeah, no, I haven't had caffeine about 15 years. But I love coffee. I love the taste of coffee. So I've been able to cheat by, like, huffing the coffee beans that I have, you know, and it's like, oh, it's so good, you know, and I really want to get like a decaf version. It's this designer coffee out of Chicago. Really, really, really good. So, and we're actually going to offer, along with the mug, like a bag of Dirk's Perk coffee with the Dirk's Perk label on it. The tagline is, you know, don't fight monsters without it. So,
nice.
Yeah. And again, the coffee and the mugs are going to be Kickstarter exclusive.
Yeah.
So you can only get those for like the campaign. So like people want to buy like extra bags of coffee, like one just to have the coffee and one just to keep like the bag of coffee like as a decoration or something. You can do that, or they can get extra mugs, or you can get the shirt or whatever. So that'll be those are going to be the big items I'm really excited about. We're going to have some other perks as well. You can get drawn into Volume 4. This time I'm letting people choose whether they want to live or die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be just be like a one shot pledge. You can either live or die. You pick. But you can be drawn into Volume 4 as a character. You can name the pro story that I'll write at the end of Volume 3. Those are some of the big... Yes. Perhaps the one I'm most excited about, there's only going to be one of these. It's the Dirk Manning Mystery Box.
Oh, sounds and sexy.
Yeah. What's in the box? What's in the box? It is not cheap. But it is awesome.
Okay.
And I'm not telling anybody what's in the box.
Oh, because it's a mystery box.
It's a mystery box. So, right. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to screw people over that support me.
Right. Yes.
So you open it up and it's a rock.
Surprisingly, it's like a scale model of Dirk's severed head.
It's a vial of his blood.
It could be any number of things. But it will definitely be worth the price. And it's going to be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so that'll be fun, the mystery box. There's only one mystery box. When it's gone, it's gone. Because, I mean, that's not something that you can, you know, to make it of value of what it is, I cannot do more than one.
Oh. Because
I only have so much blood.
Oops. Right, yes.
I mean, so it's like a comb of mine or something, you know. From Dirk Manning DNA. So that's that. As far as the stretch goals that we're doing, I'm really excited by the stretch goals. Because last time we like hit our goal in like 6 hours.
Oh my God, yes. Your Kickstarter last year just flew.
It was insane. It was humbling. I mean, it really, really blew me away. So what we're doing this year is... last year we did buttons. I'm looking at something pretty similar. I'm talking to the publisher right now if I can do this, but we'll have something similar to buttons, magnets. So we'll see what happens there. I know what I'm rooting for. We'll see if it really happens. But then we're also going to do another book plate. I think we're going to do another book plate again that people will get the book plate with a hardcover, and then then you can move up and we can get the book plate signed with head sketches on them by Seth the Moose like we did last year.
Yes.
And again, the book plates will be Kickstarter exclusive. You know, have them all signed then. And because we can't really sign the hardcovers, it's hard to ship them back and forth. But this way, everyone will get a signed book plate with their book. From there, some other stretch goals we're going to be doing. I'm really excited about this. Devil's Due character crossover prints. So we're going to do a series of art prints, each one with a mystery character and a Devil's Due character. And each one by the series artist of that book. Just earlier today, just actually before I got on the phone with you guys, I got the one from Kaylin Smith, which is a plume in one of the mystery characters. Sherard is doing one for Galaxies for Hire and a mystery character, so I'm really excited about that. There is a Nightmare World Tales of Mystery.
Ooh.
That one's pretty freaking sweet, man. I don't want to say anything else about that one right now. Can we unlock the stretch goal? Although by the time this goes online, maybe it'll be unlocked already. I don't know.
Right?
It just happened. that we're also doing a another stretch goal is going to be a bonus comic like we did last year. That, again, will be this is all stuff that's going to be Kickstarter exclusive. This is stuff that people get with their hardcover. So if the hardcover gets funded, this is the extra stuff you'll get. What I did was last year for Dan Doherty, who's a great friend of mine, great creator. He did a phenomenal kind of horror crime drama book called Touching Evil. And we did a Touching Evil Tales of Mystery crossover story. And that comic was only available as a Kickstarter exclusive for the Touching Evil hardcover. So what we're going to do is we're going to give mystery fans now a chance to get that comic. It's a 16-page comic, I want to say.
Oh, nice. Double check.
But it's a Touching Evil Tales of Mystery crossover, and it'll have a new cover that'll be, you know, obviously Kickstarter exclusive. And the only way people can get that comic is by pledging. But all those things we're talking about, the button or the magnet, we'll see what happens. the book plate signed by me, signed and head sketched by Seth the Moose, the print and the bonus comic, those are all things that we will all make Kickstarter exclusive. So, and they'll all be free as we hit different levels. So the more people that pledge to the Tales of Mystery Volume 3 campaign, the more stuff everybody gets. And what happened last year is everyone pledged for a hardcover and got a big box of Dirk.
Oh my God, it's true. I got a big box of Dirk.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm done.
Sorry,
Derek, we're having a moment.
All right.
hey, no offense, but a lot of people had that moment.
I know.
It was my pleasure to have that moment with so many people. But yeah, it was cool. And I'll tell you, last year, I can't back my own Kickstarter. It's like one of the regulations. So I didn't get a big box of Dirk.
Oh.
But when I was at Akron Comic Con, someone brought their box unopened, and I got to do like an unboxing of the box. And it was pretty cool. And what was cool is so much stuff in there, but also the fact that so many people supported this book, you know, because a lot of people will tell you, oh, well, horror books don't sell and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, Walking Dead said what? But, you know, it's like, no, good books sell. And mysteries, I don't want to say it's a challenging book because I don't think that's fair, but mysteries, a very intense book, and it's a very different kind of comic. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that it's different. And what I like is the fact is that people respond so well to the fact that it's a different kind of comic. You know, with like, well, Volume 3, we're doing 5 issues. It's a 5-issue story. Each issue is written by me but drawn by a different artist or art team. And it's 5 standalone stories to kind of weave into this big, giant story about who mystery can trust in the New World Order. You know, and it's this – some of the issues are kind of funny. Some are really horrific. Some are like – one of them's like a love story. One of them's mystery, and the last one's mystery in space.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to give it away because it's the last issue.
Right, people, yeah.
Like, I say, if Leprechaun and Jason can do it, why not us?
Right.
but it does work perfectly within the confines of the story we're telling.
It does, yes.
You know, so it's not like being gimmicky. It's just the opposite. But it's a very different – it's not a traditional – comic in the sense that it's not like a mainstream book. It's just this very, but it has a very strong sensibility to it. It's a horror story, you know, so it's just really gratifying to see so many people support the book, to be able to give people so many rewards. Because that's the thing, when you give away that many rewards, I'm not increasing my profit at that point. The more people that pledge, it's not like I'm making money hand over fist. I'm giving the money back to everyone else.
You know, you don't live off Kickstarter money? What?
Yeah, I know. I'm like the anti-Kickstarter. You know, it's like, to me, Kickstarter is what it should sound like. You're kickstarting the book. You know, the first two mystery campaigns, we raised approximately $40,000 for the first two campaigns. And I have to tell everybody, I am not talking to you right now with $40,000 in my pocket. But I'm talking to you in an office full of books. You know, that printed the books. And now we can distribute the books through Diamond. We can distribute the books through Amazon. I can take books on the road. People can go to bookstores and buy them. That's what that Kickstarter paid for. It got us books. And it got everyone books.
Yes.
And in the case of the people that backed the Kickstarter, it gets you a hardcover that you can't get anywhere else. It gets you pins and prints and comics. And or you can get coffee and coffee mugs and shirts and all that cool stuff, man. So
yeah, I'm very excited about the coffee. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that coffee, it's good coffee. It's the real deal.
I mean, I don't know whether to believe you since you don't drink caffeinated coffee anymore, but I like coffee, so I'm going to go with it.
I used to drink a lot of coffee. When I was in college and even out of college and starting my writing career, I would my schedule was, well, like in college, I'd be at college during the day. I would work at night. After work, I would go to the clubs to interview bands and do concert reviews. Then I would go to a coffee shop or Denny's or something like that. Eat dinner. Eat was like my second dinner. You know, if I was sometimes my first dinner, quite frankly, two in the morning, drink coffee. I would work and actually transcribe my stories, make my notes and things like that. Because back then, it's you had to go to the office and input your story into the CRT computer. It's not like I had they didn't have laptops or anything like that, nothing accessible. And I would drink coffee until I saw the sun come up out of the Denny's window, go home, sleep for maybe 2-3 hours, and then get up and repeat every day. So I assure you, I was caffeine fueled. that does not include the 48 cans of pop a week I would drink minimum.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder you quit caffeine. You still have enough caffeine left in you probably for the rest of your life.
By all that residue caffeine, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I good coffee is great. Good coffee is untouchable, and this is the real deal. And if you don't believe me, you can listen to Josh Blaylock, who is and Kit and the whole Devil's Due crew, who has had some of this coffee, and they're like, "Oh my god, this is so good." They just like having it in the office just to, so it can they can huff it.
Ooh,
lovely aroma of dirt.
I'm gonna tell people right now. Like I said, I mean, if you want a couple bags of this coffee, get them during the campaign, because when they are at the end of the campaign, it's gone.
All right,
that's it.
So you can order multiple bags of coffee through the Kickstarter.
Yeah, you can order multiple bags. You can order, an extra coffee mug or whatever you want. But yeah, you can order whatever you want. It'll be like a la carte. You can add that stuff on.
Nice.
But once the Kickstarter is done, it's gone.
Well, you're going to get everybody addicted to Dirk's perk, and then you're going to take it away from them like an evil drug lord.
Have we met? The evil part, at least, I'm actually worried about that. If it's going to be like one of these things, like next year, if we do a Kickstarter for volume 4, it's like, should I bring back the coffee? At that point, people will be like, Dirk, bring back the freaking coffee!
Well, I've met a many of your readers, and I can probably guarantee you that's going to happen.
Eking out.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, maybe it'll be a thing that you can only get on Kickstarter once a year or something. I don't know. But the coffee directly ties into Volume 3, because a couple of the issues of Volume 3 take place in a coffee shop, in Dirk's Perk coffee shop.
Yes,
so
they do.
It's very apropos.
They don't end in the coffee shop.
Oh, no.
Spoilers.
Well,
spoilers.
Some people's story ends at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
I just can't wait for, people to read the first chapter of volume 3 and it's just two guys talking a coffee shop. Okay, this is what's so scary about this? Holy God in heaven! I think it's issue 2, and it's just
yeah.
Yeah.
My personal favorite is issue 4, but my face is in it, so.
It's a good issue anyway. Yeah, that was a very Leno Greedy illustrated issue 4, which is called Venus and Adonis or the Nightmare World Gambit. And I love that issue for a lot of reasons. One, that is a very, very tough issue to illustrate. And man, Leno Greedy, who a lot of people know from my Nightmare World stuff, we've worked together on, just absolutely demolished it. Just one of the most talented artists I know. He's primarily known as a colorist, but as that issue illustrates, I mean, just the multiple styles of artwork he did. He did the realistic stuff for the present, and then he did the stylized, flashback stuff. And then with the visions, the psychic visions that Charity's father would have, or Charity then had through him, are just so rendered and just insane, and so many panels, and oh my God, and your face.
And my face. Which was very cool, because you sourced that from your Facebook group.
Yeah. The membership has its privileges.
It
does. That Facebook group is really cool, really good people. So yeah, I like to do stuff like that. Like today, when I showed everybody the coffee mug, a preview of what the coffee mug looks like. That picture of the coffee mug is directly from the person making the coffee mugs.
Ooh.
She sent it to me, and I put it on the Facebook group. You know, it's like that's a reward for. anyone that wants to join the friends or fiends of Dirk Manning support group, you get nice little perks, you know. But and I loved with issue four, I loved getting to tell a love story, you know. When you look at volume three, you know, you got like kind of like the Reservoir Dogs issue in volume one, and then the massacre of issue.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Dirk?
Issue two, and oh. Then issue three with the Underworld Railroad, which I'm sorry, but I just love that concept. You know, I think I'm really funny with stuff like that, with the Underworld Railroad. I know. Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Sorry, no, we lost you for a sec. We're back, I think.
Oh, am I back?
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, well, see, that's what I get for complimenting my own work.
The internet, knew you were giving away too many plot lines, so it cut you off.
That's fair.
The nice thing is there was like 15 seconds of silence, and then you rebounded with your whole tale, so we didn't really lose anything. It was just an awkward period in the middle, which is pretty hilariously awesome.
Well, point being, volume three is pretty awesome. I guess I'm really excited about it because I get to tell, like I said, the Reservoir Dog story to like a bloodbath story to a love story to an action story to a science fiction story. And it's kind of nightmare worldish, I guess, in that sense.
It is, because you not only that, but you use different artists for every issue, and it's very reminiscent of the nightmare world.
Yeah, it's almost like something's gearing up for a comeback or
right,
something.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've heard rumors that there's a number four of something coming out maybe in the near future. I wonder what you've done that could have a number four to it.
Number four, I don't know. Maybe we should keep our eyes peeled for October, perhaps.
Oh. Now I'm very excited for October.
And not only for Grand Rapids
Comic Con. Did I say October or Omnibus? I'm sorry. I meant to say October.
You said October.
I didn't say Omnibus?
No.
Okay. Good, because I want to.
So we got two O words, Omnibus and October. It's like piecing together a puzzle when you talk to him.
Yeah, you know, I'm accused of burying the lead sometimes.
So we got a number four of something. We got the Kickstarter coming up. There's a Right or Wrong Two coming up soon.
Yeah, next year my goal is to do Right or Wrong Two. In the meantime, I'll be doing a collection of love stories to die for.
Ooh.
Which will be the double shot one, or the double issue one shot we did from Image Comics, plus the three online stories that I've never seen print. Seth the Moose did a pro wrestling story. Howie Knoll did a Guardian Angel story. Anthony Peruzzo did a zombie story. And then we'll have a science fiction story in there, as well as a Vikings versus vampire story. Nia Ruffino did the cover. I don't want to put words in her mouth, I will say that, well, I guess it's not putting words in her mouth, because she actually did say this, but she actually talked about how this is one of the best covers she's ever done.
Ooh.
And man, she ain't lying. It is just a breathtaking cover. So that'll be coming out from Devil's Due between Re3 and Omnibus October. And then after that, we'll have Right or Wrong 2 coming out. In the meantime, I'm also working on a new book, Mariachi.
Mariachi.
Yes. It's fun. You know, think Ghost Rider meets Scott Pilgrim in Hell.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Sounding. I know.
Yeah. Chris Sanchez and John Markeen are doing that art duties on that book. I'm writing it. It's going to be a 6-issue, I believe, miniseries to El Arto Studios. First issue will be making its official debut at Fantastic on Toledo, and it'll be available at conventions. It's Ghost Rider meets Scott Pilgrim in Hell, in the Mexican underworld, you know, wherever you want to look at it.
That's just amazing sounding.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
You had me at Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Scott Pilgrim. I'm a big fan of Ghost Rider. Mash the two together, and that's Mariachi. So
nice. So you got a lot going on, plus 800 cons this year. Is that what I heard?
790.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of doing a 15 shows in 15 weeks right now, which I vowed I would never do again, but it kind of happened on accident. And so it's not like I was even like trying to, you know, fill in gaps or anything like that. But I'm doing this coming weekend, as we're recording this, Fantastica in Toledo. The following week, I'll be in Philadelphia. Then I got India for the Great Philadelphia Comic Con. Then I have Indiana Comic Con, Free Comic Book Day down in Columbus, Hilliard, a Pack Rat Comics I go every year. Then in May after that, we got the Mighty Motor City Comic Con. Yes, love Motor City. There'll be some karaoke there, I suspect.
I would imagine. I would be disappointed if there was not.
Yeah. And then I'll be doing the week after that, Three Rivers Con in Pittsburgh, Cherry Capital Comic Con up in Traverse City, another phenomenal Michigan show. C4 is just incredible. Well, probably one of the best kept secrets of the Midwest is Cherry Capital Comic Con. Just a great show. Then I'll be heading to Wizard World Philly. And I think after that, I'm doing Yellow Springs, Ohio. I think I'm going to end the tour in Yellow Springs for the Yellow Springs Street Fair at my buddy Superfly Comics. And then I'm going to collapse, take a nap for a week or so, and start creeping into the fall again.
Nice. Well, you sound very busy. And you're doing a Kickstarter on top of that, so.
Yeah, two. And then we'll have a re-3 and then number 4 in.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're dropping two Kickstarters this year.
Well, you know, if October is going to be a hell of a month.
All right. Yeah, okay. All right, so hopefully we have a soft release for this Kickstarter. So we're recording on this is the 13th.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So we're hoping by next Wednesday.
Yes.
The Kickstarter's dropping. We're going to stay soft because maybe, hopefully by next Wednesday.
I'm thinking by next Wednesday. I mean, we really want to make sure to do this right. I would have liked to have launched it on the 13th, but and then ended on Friday the 13th, but this is going to work out better because this way it'll carry through Motor City as well.
There you go.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, you know, make sure everybody you follow Dirk Manning on Facebook, Twitter, sign up for his newsletter, join his group on Facebook, because if you don't, you won't know when it starts. You won't be able to get Dirk's coffee, t-shirt, mug, hardcover, 800 other things.
Awesome. I'm really excited about the Devil's Due character crossover pinups. Like I said, Kaylin Smith just did hers. And oh, my God. And Sherrard's is great. Oh, the Nightmare World one. I might actually make it into a banner for shows. It's that good.
Ooh.
So I'm just super stoked about what's coming.
Nice. All right, so everybody look out for that. Now, but before we let Dirk go, Derek has been obsessively wanting to talk to you about WrestleMania.
You mean NXT TakeOver?
Yeah, the marathon five-hour show that was WrestleMania. What were your thoughts?
You mean NXT?
Yes, NXT, yes.
NXT was WrestleMania as far as I'm concerned.
So what did you think of Shane O'Mac going off the top of the cage?
It was intense. WrestleMania, you know, this has happened the last couple of years. I mean, all kidding aside, I mean, NXT was, you can see my face right now, absolutely incredible. But as far as WrestleMania goes, the last couple of years, they've been better in action than they have been on paper. And the Shane Taker match was good. It was really good.
Way better than I thought it was going to be.
Cage was solid.
That was like one of the craziest things I think I've seen in a long time on there. But you knew something was coming when Shane McMahon was coming back. That was the big thing. I was like, what stupid thing is he going to do this time? I don't think they have a Titantron, so.
And the thing with that match was that was one of the only matches that the outcome really intrigued me. Some of the booking really threw me. Jericho going over Styles, I think, was really unexpected.
Made no sense.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was at least it was a shock. You know, okay, that's fine. Jericho's earned it just as much as Styles. And you don't want to push Styles to the moon yet, because, I mean, we all know Roman Reigns is going to sadly run right through him here coming up.
Yeah.
bury the non-WWE guy.
There was a lovely
collective
and exasperated sigh at the exact same time there.
Yeah, but I definitely would have booked it different. I can't believe they put Lesnar over Ambrose without any Wyatt interference. That shocked me, but I guess the way they're moving with Wyatt now, trying to make him more of a face, I guess that makes sense. But it'd be a good pay-per-view. And man, I'll tell you what, any misgivings I had about Mania proper, the Raw after Mania made up for in spades.
Yes, it was very good. I was also strangely excited that Zack Ryder actually won something for once after they hadn't used him on a pay-per-view in like 2 years, it felt like. Mm-hmm. And then they immediately squashed him. But hey, you know, he had his WrestleMania moment, so that's good.
Well, he did. He had his WrestleMania moment. That's a guy that they really unjustly buried when he went into business for himself on the internet. You know, and they hyped him for a minute. He was Intercontinental Champion or U.S. Champion. I remember what he was for like a minute. I think he was U.S. champion.
I think he was U.S. champ, yeah.
U.S. champion for like a minute when him, Daniel Bryan, and CM Punk, all the internet darlings, quote unquote, were the champs.
Did we lose him again?
Before they all got picked apart. But again, same thing. Completely unexpected. Completely unexpected.
Yeah, that just really excited me. That really set the show off well, I guess. And then
yeah,
it kind of went – that was a really long WrestleMania. Like when it hit 11 o'clock and they hadn't even talked about a title match yet, I was just like, holy shit, this is insane.
Yeah, and they had a couple pre-show matches.
Yeah, it started at like 6.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, it was something. But I mean, but it was a solid show, which was nice. Like I said, it was much better in execution than it was on paper. It was calling a WrestleMania, you know, WrestleMania meh or whatever it was, whatever the tag was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was solid, man. It ended up being good. For my money right now, I will say the best wrestling show on television is actually not even WWE affiliated. It's Lucha Underground.
They have a lot of old WWE people over there now, too.
They got a couple. Yeah, they got Mysterio. They've got John Morrison.
Man, that guy fell off the face of the earth for a while.
I'll tell you, he's kicking ass over at Lucha Underground. Who else? They have?
They have, like, and what's Ezekiel his face? Jackson. Matt Stryker, right? Isn't he over there?
Matt Stryker's an announcer, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Lucha Underground is hands down. And NXT is great. Raw, the last couple of Raws have been good. Lucha Underground, phenomenal.
I mean, I had El Rey Network still.
It's on Netflix.
Is it? Well, season one, I think they put on Netflix.
Did they put it on Netflix?
I heard rumors they were putting season one of Lucha Underground on Netflix. I don't know if it's actually there yet.
I know it's on iTunes.
Yes.
But it is, I mean, the day they put that show out on DVD or Blu-ray, I will buy it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just to watch it over and, I mean, it is incredible. Incredible wrestling, incredible storylines. It makes no compunctions about the fact that it's a story. You know, so they really allow themselves to have some fun with that. The vignettes aren't like, we're sneaking the camera back here, guys. You don't know. They're vignettes, you know. Rod Rodriguez is doing it with Mark Burnett. I mean, two very quality guys, you know. Just fantastic. But yeah, WrestleMania was good. The Ambrose-Lesnar match was solid. 13 suplexes later, like I said, Ambrose lost, which... That was, again, kind of shocking to me. But
yeah, I don't know why they keep making him lose clean and stuff like that. They, like, hype him up and then smash him right back down. It's just kind of weird, but hey.
It's easy to be an armchair booker, you know, and I definitely would have booked that match differently.
I know. We all think we could be writers, and then if we actually had to be in that position, we'd be shit on just as much, but...
Well, that's it. There's a lot of factors at play. You know, people ask me every so often, you know, in seriousness, like, Dirk, you know, there's a spot open to go right for WWE. And I'm like, hell no. No, you know, because, I mean, you're dealing not only with storyline writing, but you're also dealing with a writer's room, which, I mean, is not inherently bad. But you're also dealing with athletes with very real egos and want to protect their spots and things like that, you know. And you can't go in there and say, I'm going to have Triple H lose every match. I mean, not going to. Happen, you know. I would love to have been there to see. I mean, to have them. I want to know who made the decision to put, like you said, Zack Ryder over. That was awesome.
I also want to know whose idea it was to have that ridiculous Stephanie McMahon thing that happened before the title match, because that confused me.
You know, that's just Triple H being Triple H.
You're probably right.
You know, every year it's so funny. Every time Triple H has a big thing like that, when he came back from his injury, he had a vignette. Yet, you know, we will bring him back. We'll make him stronger. The whole Terminator thing last year. Oh my God. It was so lame. But apparently someone thinks it's really cool. And you know Triple H signs off on that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If he didn't want to be the Terminator, he wouldn't be the Terminator. And they keep trying to push that stupid-ass King of Kings motif, the Skeletor thing.
Yeah, the Shao Kahn look from Mortal Kombat.
Yes. They keep trying to push it and market it. And it's like, just stop it. No one cares. You don't hear me talk negatively about too many things publicly, but enough. No one cares. It's not funny. It's not cool. It's not hip. Like, every toy you see with Triple H comes with the King of Kings mask, and it's like, so? And you hear Stephanie McMahon say, like, in shoot interviews here and there, yeah, we're marketing the King of Kings thing, and the kids love this. It's like, what kids? What kids love this?
What possible child would love that? Like, who wants to look like a creepy skull? Well, I mean, Dirk fans, but hey.
Yeah, maybe, but even, you know, as a fairly big Dirk Manning fan myself, it's like, enough! You know, it just... So,
awesome.
I don't know, whatever. But yeah, overall, I mean, it just, you know, a little overly theatrical. Triple H is interesting because he's an interesting case study because he's the guy from the Attitude Era that never really got over any other way but in wrestling.
Yep.
He didn't become a movie star, despite trying. He didn't really become a breakout, multi, you know, cross-platform celebrity.
Come on, Dirk. Blade Trinity was fantastic. He was great in that.
He was in a great movie called The Chaperone. I don't know if you guys saw it, but...
I watched Knucklehead instead, sorry.
Oh, well.
You know... It's one of those things where ultimately the only guy he even as a wrestler, he's never been a great wrestler. You know, the reason that people think Triple H is great is because Triple H says he's great. He's the game. He's the Cerebral Assassin. Then he's had very good matches. But a guy like The Rock, a guy like Stone Cold, they don't walk around talking about how, I mean, The Rock has called himself the great one. But, you know, I mean, we're not constantly reminded in a barrage of commentary about how they're the best wrestler, you know.
I think maybe he just has to tell himself that.
Yeah, it just... Wrestling is the one place where now with NXT he's doing a great job and things like that. And wrestling is the place where he finally became the guy because he didn't become the guy any other way, like a Stone Cold did or a Mick Foley did or The Rock, you know. Out of those four guys, you know, it's like the ship left and Triple H was left kind of standing on the dock, you know. So, but I'm happy he's there. I'm happy he was doing with NXT. You know, I'm curious how much he's booking Raw right now. I mean, I clearly it's not really Shane McMahon. I mean, come on.
No.
You know, so we'll see where all this goes.
Awesome.
Right on. Well, let's bring this back around.
You know, I have one question. You know, we typically have our writers and comic book people that we interview pair their book that they're putting out with a beer, but you're not a beer guy. So
Right. Let's...
have you pair Tales of Mystery Volume 3 with an ice cream?
Yes.
Oh my god, that's an amazing idea.
Great idea. I was thinking about this.
I was like, we can't ask Dirk to pair his book with an alcoholic beverage.
We've done it every time, but I think this is a great one to put you on the spot a little bit. Pair this book with an ice cream. What ice cream sells this book and just goes great with it while you're reading it?
Oh.
I would say a dark chocolate ice cream with caramel swirls and nuts. So kind of like a Rocky Road type thing almost. Because, in fact, I would say some sort of Rocky Road ice cream. Because Rocky Road is maybe not always the ice cream that people pick right off the bat. But when you eat a good Rocky Road, there's nothing better. And quite frankly, in Tales of Mystery Volume 3, there's a very... Rocky Road ahead for Mystery.
Wow.
It's a great pairing.
Well done, sir.
Not bad for a top of my head.
No. See,
but it's true.
I mean, you even powered through.
It's just like, you want just like this rich ice. Yeah. Yes. I'm not going to explain anymore.
People just have to experience it for themselves.
Yes.
So, all right, everyone. So stay tuned for more from the Kickstarter. Make sure you follow Dirk on every single social media so that you can keep abreast.
Except for Tinder.
Except for Tinder.
Tinder, Grindr, any of those.
His
like, Tinder dating
his
apps.
Tinder profile is private.
Swipe up.
All right, Dirk.
Swipe down.
Well, thanks for talking with us about what's coming up for you.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for your continued support. I look forward to being on 100 more episodes as we go.
Excellent.
And yeah.
All right.
Tales of Mystery Volume 3 Kickstarter. You will get a ton of stuff and a great book for a great price. So I hope everybody will support it.
Awesome. Thanks,
Thank
Dirk.
You.
Thank you.
All right, Dirk. What's up?
Not too much.
All right. All right, guys. We have Dirk here with us. Right? So this is the 100th time you've been?
Hold on. Scratch that. You caught me off guard with your... That was horrible. Let's try that again.
Okay, one second. I'll delete that.
We can edit.
All right. Start that over.
That's... by the way, F you. It's hard to catch me off guard, and you did it. Just be an outtake.
That was perfect.
This is going to be in the podcast. We don't do...
We don't delete.
Tell about a practice. I haven't been on a podcast in a while, so...
What? You're the king of podcasts.
I haven't done one in a while. I've been busy. So.
Oh, that's...
All right. Let's try.
No, that's... We're recording. You're good. Keep talking.
We can go back and start. I'll just delete it out.
That is hurtful.
We have a solid minute of garbage right now, so that's pretty cool.
Longest outtake ever.
Yes.
All right.
All right, let's...
You tell me when you're ready to rock and or roll. Hold on.